1 year ago, that woman in Michigan, our very own Governor Whitmer, was in the limelight for laying down the law with COVID restrictions. So why now, with a rise in cases, is Governor Whitmer holding off?
She said that she thinks that it's more effective to ask people to comply than it is to order them to comply.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer.
We all have to step up our game for the next 2 weeks to bring down rising cases.
Today, Governor Gretchen Whitmer strongly encouraged a two-week halt to some face-to-face school instruction and other things that we do together in public.
And I'm strongly encouraging all Michiganders to avoid dining indoors and avoid gathering with friends indoors for 2 weeks.
Key word here, encouraged. That's different from what's happening with our neighbors in Ontario. We're going to get to that later in the pod. First, we wanted to talk about why Governor Whitmer isn't taking a harder line and tightening restrictions as our state rockets into a third surge of COVID-19. Rick Pluta is Capitol Bureau Chief for Michigan's Public Radio Network, and he's here to talk about Governor Whitmer's announcements. Hi, Rick.
Hi, April.
She strongly encouraged, those are her words, strongly encouraged people not to dine indoors and not to meet with friends indoors for 2 weeks. She and Dr. Jonae Khaldun, the state's chief medical officer, did encourage people to get takeout, support restaurants as often as possible. But she said that she would not order some kind of shutdown to happen, nor would she ask Michigan's Department of Health and Human Services to consider it. I take it that choice of language was very intentional.
Very intentional and very specific. That the governor said that the state is following the science in terms of how to manage the spread of COVID-19, and she may have meant less in this context epidemiology than persuasion research. That the more you push some segments of the population to comply with state health orders, the more resistance you'll get. In fact, the more likely it might be that you'll get noncompliance. At this point, it's more about persuasion than the possibility of punishment.
Let's just recap where things stand right now. The number of people in Michigan who either have COVID-19 now or have had it is nearly 800,000. The number of Michiganders who've died from the disease is greater than the population of Traverse City. And the governor did indicate that while vaccinations are going at a steady clip, I heard her say that she wanted things to move faster. Did she not?
She definitely did. That right now the state is in a race against fast spreading COVID variants that seem to be accelerating at a very, very fast pace. The state is now in a race of that pits vaccinations and masking and distancing against these variants that spread at a much more rapid pace.
Rick, did Governor Whitmer say anything specifically about why she did not issue orders?
She said that she thinks that it's more effective to ask people to comply than it is to order them to comply.
Did you get the sense that Governor Whitmer seemed frustrated or perhaps merely resigned?
Actually, and obviously this is somewhat subjective, I think that the tone that she tried to strike was almost optimistic, that we're in this together and this is doable. And she also kind of set some goals. She said that if everybody pulls together and does the things that they're supposed to do, that we could be looking at relaxing some of the standards and letting, allowing more gatherings and things like that happen as soon as May versus having to slog through the summer on this. She said that she did not expect that Michigan would meet the May goal, but she said it's possible.
I think I heard one reporter ask Governor Whitmer why she thought people might comply now if they have been among those who have not complied in the past for COVID restrictions. How did she answer that question?
That she thinks they'll do it because they should do it. and that this is about protecting our elders, that this is about protecting our children, and this is about getting through this and returning to life as normal more quickly than we would otherwise.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, a Republican who's been a foil for Governor Whitmer throughout the pandemic and who was part of the lawsuit that challenged her initial health orders, he tweeted a couple minutes after her speech the following: inform, inspire, encourage, trust. For the better part of a year, Republicans have insisted this would be more effective than trying to mandate healthy behaviors. I'm encouraged that the governor seems to have come to this realization as well. Rick, do you think that's what happened? Is Gretchen Whitmer coming around to the ideas that Republicans have been saying, that people shouldn't be forced to wear a mask or keep distant?
Well, yes, but not for the reasons that Mike Shirkey is talking about, that at the beginning, you know, we saw widespread compliance and that it was working to slow the spread of COVID-19, and that if the state had adopted the Shirkey method early on, then things could be worse today than they would be otherwise. But we're in a period, and there's research at the University of Michigan and other places, that this did work early on, but now people have COVID fatigue, that they want to get out and start doing things again, that we're moving into the warmer months. And so it's time to shift into a new type of messaging that doesn't rely so much on government instruction, but on inspiration.
This concept of asking people rather than ordering them to stay home, do you see this gaining any steam around the state?
It is the new strategy. It is the new plan. There's research on this that deals with how do you effectively persuade the people who are vaccine reluctant to get their vaccines? How do you persuade the people who aren't really happy with the masking and distancing and getting together with loved one requirements to nevertheless comply with these recommendations? And there's actually a plan. It's called the Protector Coalition. It speaks to motivations other than complying with health orders, that you're doing this to protect your town. You're doing this to protect your elders. And it's an act of basically patriotism.
It sounds like that's something that might get a little bit more resonance in some of the more rural and more Republican places in the state than those that have been a little bit more on board with restriction and regulation.
Oh, that's exactly who it's directed at. And it's a very very sophisticated operation that, you know, we have people who are public health messaging experts who are working with script writers for TV shows to try and create an environment where people are going, yeah, this is something that we should be doing. And that is, you know, I mean, that's the phase that we're moving into.
Rick Plutus, Capitol correspondent for Michigan's public radio stations. You can watch for his reporting on more of this in the coming days. Hey, Rick, stay safe. Thanks.
Oh, glad to do it, April. You stay safe also.
We need to take a short break. Coming up, we're going to hear how Canada is dealing with rising COVID cases. Suffice to say, it's a different approach.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
The province of Ontario in Canada is now under a four-week shutdown due to the rise in COVID-19 cases. That includes the city of Windsor, just a mile from Detroit. Doug Schmidt is a reporter with the Windsor Star who's been covering COVID. Hey, Doug, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you start by giving us some background about how Ontario's been doing during the arc of the pandemic?
We haven't been doing too well. Canada's had a hard time securing sufficient numbers and vaccines. So we're actually far, far behind what you guys are at. But we've been pretty good with, listening to the health authorities' advice and doing what they're sort of commanding us to do. As of midnight last night, we're in our third emergency lockdown, or it's now a stay-at-home order. So we kind of morphed from what was previously a lockdown. This is our third one. I mean, people are starting to get tired with all the lockdowns and shutdowns, especially now that we're hearing what's going on elsewhere in terms of vaccinations. We're actually, Canada's quite a bit behind many countries. I think we're about ranked about 54 now in terms of per capita inoculations.
When we think about the last 3 months, what has been the approach in a place like Windsor? Can you tell us a little bit about what people have and have not been allowed to do?
Well, indoor dining is no longer permitted. Before, there was a limited indoor dining allowed, as long as you could safely distance. And there was outdoor patio dining. We even had that during some of the cooler months because people were just desperate to get out of the house. You know, any kind of organized sports, things like that are pretty much done.
When the provincial government uses words like lockdown versus stay-at-home order, could you explain the difference?
I wish I could. It's very confusing, and it's probably the main cause of frustration. For instance, if you're a non-essential business, you're to shut down. But say you're a Walmart or a Costco and you have an aisle dedicated to groceries, you can then open the entire shop, at least until now, in the previous two lockdowns. So that was causing a lot of consternation. I mean, the mom and pop, the small independent businesses, we're all having to shut down.
Yeah. You mentioned the fact that it's been so hard to get vaccine doses in Canada. It's just kind of crazy that there are Pfizer pharmaceutical plants right here in Michigan cranking out doses, and they're not allowed to export to Canada. What's the scene like in Windsor for getting a vaccination dose? I mean, are you in a place right now where priority groups are able to schedule at all?
There are no more openings until probably another week or so. Every time there's a shipment that comes in, they sort of open up another allotment of who gets what. But up until very recently, it's really our long-term care homes where we had the most deaths, the most infections. They've been largely covered now. But we're still only just targeting seniors. The broader population is still... They're hoping that we can reach some of that somewhere down the line, but we still have a lot of essential workers who are not able to get the vaccine, including people working in grocery stores, teachers, students. They're still all ineligible. It was a decade or more ago that Canada got rid of its last pharmaceutical company that manufactured its own vaccine. So we're beholden to the world. There's a Pfizer manufacturing plant just next door in Michigan for us, but it's not allowed to export to Canada.
About all those essential workers, there are thousands of doctors and nurses and commercial truckers who, as you say, are still going back and forth from Windsor to Detroit and have been this whole time. Have you heard anything about how their experiences of making the crossing has changed?
Well, our local health unit, and we do, like you said, we have thousands of nurses and healthcare workers who live on the Canadian side of the border but work largely in Detroit. At the hospital networks there, the health networks. They're providing an essential service for Michiganders. Our health unit has advised those workers, though, that, go to America, do your work, get back home. don't go shopping, don't go, you know, don't even pick up gas, groceries, things like that. Just head from your home and on the Canadian side, go to your workplace, get the work done with, hop in your car and scoot on back and, you know, do your shopping here and on the Canadian side, that kind of thing. That's like the main, I think, sort of message that's gone out. Initially, in one of our first lockdowns, we had a number of these cross-border healthcare workers who were bringing back the virus, certainly got infected. But I don't think it's a huge factor anymore, but maybe it's because they're listening to the urgings of our local health authorities.
So you think people are heeding that advice and not stopping to buy stuff? It seems like it would be awfully tempting to, you know, not grab some groceries or other things that might be cheaper on this side of the border.
Well, Canadians are an obedient bunch. When authorities say wear a face mask, they wear a face mask.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, it's pretty low level government intrusion in their lives. So they'll do it.
Would you say that everything that's happened during this pandemic and the crimps on travel, and like you say, looking over the border and seeing what's happening here, what's all this doing to people's sense of relationship to the States?
I think it's different here in Windsor compared to elsewhere in Canada. We're the closest border city in Canada to the United States. We have so many relationships across the border here, family, work, cultural. Detroit literally is our backyard. And so we miss not being able to cross the border. There's a lot of things we're missing out on in our lives because the border's closed. Elsewhere, I don't know, people look at, you know, there was just a disastrous response in the United States to the pandemic when the pandemic first hit hard. That seems to have changed dramatically recently, but it's not quite on a Brazil level, but it was there for a while. It was, you know, why are you guys not doing enough or doing more? And I think Canadians, including locally, were quite content to see that border closed.
Doug Schmidt is a reporter with the Windsor Star in Windsor. Doug, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the show, and stay safe.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Ishikawa. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional tunes by Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend. Take care.